Today, the real problem with low interest rates, it's killing the banks. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World's Latest Post, covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The Bank for International Settlements has published an important working paper entitled Bank Intermediation Activity in a Low Interest Rate Environment. Now, that may sound rather dry and is actually in typical banker speak. However, there are some very important messages which need to be considered by central bankers set on driving rates ever lower. RBA, please note. In fact, there is a real risk that ongoing low rates could, well, simply break banks. And we need to say that the BIS working papers are written by members of the Monetary and Economic Department of the Bank for International Settlements and from time to time by other economists. The papers are on subjects of topical interest and are technical in character, but the views expressed in them are those of their authors and not necessarily the views of the BIS, and we'll see that that's important in a moment or two. But then, the BIS is the club that central bankers like to join, so we should take it seriously. And they introduce four effects of ongoing low interest rates. First, low interest rates induce banks to shift their activities from interest generation to fee-related and trading activities, and this rebalancing is stronger for low-capitalized banks. Next, banks will also moderately adjust their funding structures away from short-term market funding towards deposits, and this creates a flaw in how low rates can go. Third, banks have to seek alternative revenue sources, including more risky speculative trading and the introduction of more fees and charges to offset the margin reduction which comes from declining rates. And finally, the BIS suggests that there will be a decline in the risk-weighted asset ratio and a reduction in loan loss provisions, which is consistent with signs of the practice of evergreening, or in other words, understating the risks in loan portfolios and propping up poor lending to firms and households rather than dealing with real delinquencies. The BIS paper uses data from a sample of major international banks over a 22 period from 1994 to 2015, and they model the impact if benchmark interest rates fell from 3% to 0%, while the average net interest margin declined from 1.42% to 1.31% of total exposures. And over the longer term, banks' average interest income falls from around 60% of total income to around 40%. As rates drop, it seems that many banks are not doing precisely what the central banks wanted them to do, which is lend more to business. In the classic, although inaccurate, model of banking, commercial banks take short-term deposits from businesses and retail customers and lend the cash out long-term. This is called intermediation. Banks in this classic model make money on the spread between the interest rate they pay on deposits and other funding sources and the interest rate they charge. But as rates drop, they meet the lower bounds problem, as most retail customers won't accept negative interest rates on their deposits. Rather than paying for depositing their funds or savings, they'll take their money out, hence the worry about the cash transaction ban and cash withdrawal restrictions. In fact, as we've discussed before, several governments, including the German government, have even threatened to outlaw negative deposit rates altogether to appease the backlash from savers. I think here in Australia we should be lobbying hard to get such negative rates outlawed before it's too late. But then, in this country, we seem blasé about the falls until it's too late. She'll be right, won't be right. Anyhow, we get to the point where banks are unable to lower deposit rates any further, which provides a real flaw under the costs of funding for banks. But competitive pressures will grow to lower the interest rates they charge on loans. One reason why we are seeing really cheap mortgages here now, for the best credit. The net impact is that spreads get compressed, profitability falls, and by the way, if you accept the banks create credit theory of money, the same happens just in reverse. So, in an attempt to buttress profits, they first will not pass on the full cash rate reductions, as we have seen this week, with banks on average passing down around half of the cash rate cut to try to protect margins, although deposit rates have declined further, I note. Now, some banks will shift their focus away from lending to their customers towards trading activities, which can generate higher yields and fee-based income, but with higher risks. This is one reason why derivatives have grown recently to around $48 trillion, as the CEC recently highlighted. Such speculative activities will also tend to lift the value of other asset classes, such as stocks and bonds and real estate, and suddenly those professional portfolio managers will be in vogue. And the BIS suggests that in the short term, trading in stocks and bonds and derivatives and other financial instruments might allow banks to offset their declining profit from their interest spread. And in their model, where the benchmark interest rate decreases from 3% to 0%, trading profits as a proportion of total income increases from 2.5% to 3.2%. But the trade-off is significantly greater risk. Such speculative products, such as collateralized loan obligations, which are securities backed by corporate junk-related leveraged loans, come into vogue, but at greater risk. Something else banks will do is to ramp up fees on the basic services they offer, including lending to businesses and households. As a result, the true gross costs in the economy will remain relatively high, even as the benchmark rates fall. This, of course, destroys the rationale for the lower rates in the first place to boost lending. And according to the BIS report, if a benchmark interest rate decreases from 3% to 0%, average free income increases in the short term from 14.2% to 15.2% of total income. But such fee hikes cannot ward off the loss of their core business, the BIS says. Many banks will get weaker. And the BIS notes that provisions are being taken lower to try to bolster profitability and suggest that potential problem loans are being repeatedly rolled over, referred to as evergreening, as a means of obscuring the rising risks on their balance sheet. We think this is already happening in Australia in the mortgage books, which comprise some 65% of all banks' lending. And the BIS says that in fact banks are likely to reduce their lending to try and control their regulatory capital by shifting their exposure from loans with high risk weights to investments such as sovereign bonds that carry a lower risk weight. One reason why demand for bonds are so high, putting their price up and yields down, or even negative. And in fact, the relative weight between corporate loans and mortgages make it even less likely banks will want to write corporate business, the very stuff we need to drive the economy forward. Some studies show that banks would prefer mortgages and consumer loans because they carry lower risk weights, thanks to the nutty BIS rules. And the final point to make is that the BIS study ran to 2015. Now, given rates are even lower, derivative exposures even higher, and profitability is already under extreme pressure, Westpac, for example, is expected to see a significant decline in dividends ahead, according to a recent analyst report. The problems exposed in this paper are likely to be even worse today. And the BIS concludes that persistent low interest rates tend to reduce bank profits, mainly by depressing interest margins. They indicate that banks adjust their activities in an effort to offset that reduction, at least partially, and they suggest that supervisors reinforce these shifts. And they reveal that funding tends to shift from short-term market funds towards deposits. At the same time, they suggest that supervisors should remain alert of the possibility of evergreening. But weirdly, they do not go further and suggest rates should not be cut further, despite the risks. That highlights the dilemma which central bankers face. They are wired to drive rates lower, despite the obvious real-world consequences. Welcome to the dark heart of central banking. They know, but choose not to act. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.